Oh my goodness. So guys, I am so sorry. Jack, thanks for holding down the fort. In my head, this was at 2:30. On my calendar, it was at 2. So I profusely apologize. Jack, do you have a full hour until 3:30 Pacific?
Yeah, we'll get it all done,
Oh my God, bless your heart. Okay, so we're getting an extra long webinar
We were
today. Yes, Ginger, the webinar is
going to
happening.
change into cap and gowns and get ready for some graduation ceremony here.
Yeah, did you guys bring your cap and gowns? Oh my gosh, I am so sorry. That is the first time I've ever done that. I was literally just emailing, set my timer, and here I think I'm early and I'm late. So I'm sorry about that. And I am logging into our Gut Thrive program right now. So you have been answering questions. What's the tenor? Because this is welcome. This is step five. It is our grand finale. Not that we're going to leave you high and dry. You have clinical support through the end of the year. Or actually, I think you have clinical support through March with our team. And if you feel, and then we go to quarterly webinar. So we'll have another webinar in a couple of months. But if that's not enough for you, you still need support, then we can have someone from our clinical team host Q&As based upon where you are, because we really want to support you so that you can graduate. And so if there's something that's preventing you from doing that, definitely want you to write in to the clinical team and we'll make sure that you feel supported. Okay.
I was kind of avoiding the long questions because I was trying to grab any of the short ones. So we really need to start at the beginning and see what I didn't answer, because there's
Okay.
some important questions, but usually they're going to be the longer ones that I was stepping over.
Okay, well, you guys can also come on camera. I think that goes a lot better. Like, I'm looking at Kate, she's got someone angry at the program, and Tracy, is step four. So you can raise your hand because we'd love to see your faces. Everybody else loves to see your faces. And then we can talk through what's going on with your case studies. So I'm just seeing now, so I have the fresh chat from when I started. I don't see anything.
Oh.
So if there are a couple long ones that you want to get to or invite some practitioners to come on and speak, let's do that. Otherwise, we can start
Yeah.
with Natalie's. I see a
Maybe if
long.
I didn't answer someone's short one, the long ones can raise their hand and come right on. So.
The long ones, yeah. Natalie, good. I'm glad you raised your hand because we're going to have questions. We want this whole comprehensive case study. So I just accepted you, Natalie. Just make sure you're on Chrome. Make sure you go through the sound check and the video check, and it should be fine. Okay, so here we are. Step five. We're going to make sure that you feel comfortable. Kate, I accepted you too. So let's see who comes on first based upon your technology, so that you feel comfortable continuing the terraforming process. We want to make sure and a lot of you are still taking people through the HCL challenge. Want to answer those questions and help you finesse and fine tune. Make sure you feel comfortable continuing to terraform because you should stay in touch with your case studies for at least a month after step five ends to check in, preferably 3 months if you've got that bandwidth to stay in touch and see how their terraforming is going. And we'll make sure that you'll be able to customize an 80-20 balance for really anyone. Here comes Natalie. She's got, hi, Natalie. So nice to see your face. Thanks for coming on camera.
That's really startling. So thank you.
Okay, so Natalie, first of all, what's your background? What kind of practitioner are you?
So I am certified with IIN and have been since 2016.
Okay.
Went through one of Andrea Nakayama's programs. I think it was the functional.
Nutrition Alliance.
It's, she's
For
changed name a
functional
couple of times, so I
forum.
wasn't too sure.
Okay.
And I have awesome case studies, and my plan P is the one who has just been, I don't want to say challenging, but she's just a rock star. And she's the one that I called in about right now because I was one of the long, I have like four sets of long questions on the chat box. I was probably one of the ones Jack was referring to.
Yeah, let's. That's always better to handle them. Yeah, live like this. Okay.
Okay, so her name is Laura, and she started off the program, great enthusiasm, and that has not stopped. She is forging full force ahead, and I'm really, really proud of her. In the slashing inflammation and those first step one of all the supplements, she did really great. She was really, really happy with the outcome of her digestion and her bowel movements. She's been struggling for more than 20 years since she was a teenager. And this is her life. This is what she does. She has to know where every public toilet is, no matter where she's at, if she's in her hometown or she's on vacation, because it's always urgent when she has to have a bowel movement. And she felt in those first few weeks that the supplements were like miracle workers. And then come to find out in one of our more recent conversations, she let it drop that she's back to having either really loose stool again or just or diarrhea again. And so we're trying to figure out the cause of that. And she also started the HCL challenge yesterday. She had added in the kimchi. See, that was a really bad idea for her. She had really obnoxious gas that her family couldn't even be around her. They asked her to leave the room, and it was frequent, like all night long.
Yeah, she's not ready for that.
Mm-hmm. But what I was, what I wondered out loud to her, though, on one of our conversations was, gosh, maybe we should have kept her in that first slashing inflammation step a little bit longer. I don't know. She was just doing so great. And then I didn't find out till a few weeks down the road that it kind of took a backwards turn again.
Well, yeah. And so she didn't reach out to you to let you know that she was having changes until those changes had been set in, the negative changes?
Right. Now, we've been talking every week, and I usually check in via text or email with each of my case studies, too. And she didn't mention anything until 2 weeks ago. So this is now her week 10. So a few weeks went by before it was let on. And that was, you know, I'm sure remiss. I could have asked her too, hey, are your bowel movements still on target? I didn't. That's why I'm a trainee and she's a case
study.
Yeah,
but that's why you're a trainee, and that's where you know you have to monitor them closely. So I guess you're not telling me that she did step one, was doing great. Did she administer step two to herself? And if she's on week 10, then she's already through step three?
Yeah. Yeah, she did her broth fast. She has done the terraforming and everything.
Okay. In the future, for future Gut Thrive clients and case, that should never happen because you should have a session with her. Never go like two sessions, and this is laid out in the materials, two sessions with step two, right? Okay. So that we do it right with them. So step one, she's doing great. When people say they've been doing better than they've been doing in 20 years, that's usually because they've taken a food out that is a high food sensitivity food, or the food sensitivity support is cleaning up this perpetual molecule that's causing inflammation. So has she run an IgG blood test that she shared with you?
No, she hasn't.
She hasn't run that, or she hasn't?
Right. Right.
Okay. That would, I would recommend somebody like this understand their food intolerances and run an IgG blood test. And we have a lab handout. If you just search it in the resources, she can order it herself, go to LabCorp or Quest, get the blood draw. And then when the results come in, I feel like you need to go over them with one of our clinicians. You're going to need to send them into us so we can responsibly help her. But so, you know, this is why Gut Thrive covers, and I'm Jack, I'm going to let you jump in here in a minute, or you can even start typing answers if that's boring you. But so, you know, we cover the entirety of the gut microbiome, and you've got her on Plan P, but she's obviously has issues with SIBO as well because of what happened. And that's where you can never let them go on their own, right? And you monitor her through the broth fast, and then you start to see the changes because she should have had some. This is a person who probably should have gone halfway with the Gut Thrive Plan P Step 2 supplements. because she already was using the VRM formulas. But then when you do the next level of the pathogen purge, she should have started those halfway and you kind of monitor along the way. Okay. So what happened is in step three, I think she was on Plan P and she was taking MBC, the microbiome colonizer.
Right.
She wasn't quite ready for that because she has a touch of SIBO. So if you had been monitoring her along the way, which you will do in the future, you would say, okay, you would do half the dose of MBC if we were back there starting. And then if she bloated up or she had even a couple strains of sauerkraut and she bloated up, then we backpedal. And we put the MBC on the shelf and we do no ferments and we're going to use TerraBiome. And that's telling me she needs to use, she could use something like Megaspore. It's got to be a soil or a spore based probiotic at half the dose until bowel movements completely regulate. And you're going to hold somebody like this there who knows where every bathroom is for 20 years until right. they're stable for like a month.
Okay.
And then you're going to start to up level and you'll move up the TerraBiome. And then okay. once that works, right?
Sure.
And that's when we can start to introduce a lower dose of the MBC. Or, and this is where I want you to use customer service more often than you have, okay? Because in the future, we could shift this whole dynamic.
Okay.
And so with somebody like that, given her history, I would say follow the plan S and have her do the enema of putting the MBC exactly where it belongs instead of taking the risk that it's going to bloat her up until gets her sea legs and she's digesting well again.
Okay. I'm just going to interject real quickly and I'd have to refer back to an email that she sent me, but I'm pretty sure that she was not having an issue with the MBC. The bloating did not happen until the HCL challenge along with the kimchi.
Okay. And yeah. Okay. Jack, do you want to jump in with the HCL challenge, bloating, and the kimchi? I mean, we got to separate those two things.
Well, I think there's just a technique that when someone is suddenly it's life changing to be in phase one, right. and then they go like to phase two or they advanced on and then they start losing it. First thing to do is to backtrack and try to see if you can recapture the benefits. Of the original phase. So during that phase, there was probably some food that was not being used and, or some supplement that was terrifically stabilizing, you know, or then there's the bone broth fast and then the system was getting a rest. So sometimes you have to go back and try to say, let's try to figure out what is a baseline of improvement. And then on that base, you're now working them gently through the remaining phases. Now, kimchi actually starts with a fairly unique bacterial culture. Historically, it started with soil-based. And I think that culture for this person has just created upheaval. And so it's at, you know, what they say, like kind of loggerheads with where they are now. So the thing to do is if kimchi wants to be, she wants it to be included in her diet regularly, lower amounts. And then look okay. at, you know, how hot it is, because there can also be the bowel reaction to the red peppers, the heat, and maybe not the species. So we're always having to wear a detective cap and try to figure out, is there something that is causing this. So it's either a bacteria or the kimchi is very spicy. And then you make that modification or you engage a test. You say, okay, don't eat kimchi for 5 days and then tell me what happens. But this person has a long-term, you know, a miserable history of having to know where the bathrooms are. So these are high stakes.
It and, really is, and Chris she really, just has really a wonderful, wonderful
got everything you need, yeah, to do, and that is, you know, let's get back to stability and then gently work through the program and give her body, which is highly reactive, look at the amount of reaction that she's having these loose stools and having to immediately get to a restroom. Her system is highly reactive. And so somewhere along the road of gut thrive, there's going to be something that probably insults that reactivity, because we're trying to do good things on the old status quotient. So, back up and slow and steady is going to win that race. And you're on the brink of just a major help for this person to break free of this situation. And if there's an offending food, it's time to find out and give that system a rest.
And it's amazing she's got such a wonderful attitude, right? Because now you can go back and play, and be like, because you have such a wonderful attitude, this is going to change the course of the rest of your life, really. And as you're figuring it out. So definitely run the IgG blood test.
Okay, run the IgG and kind of circle back to when she was having the really great progress before it started to fall back again. Got it.
Yeah, and really work. I mean, maybe even swap kimchi for like a few strains of sauerkraut or something like that.
Well, and that's what I suggested to her, because I've done sauerkraut. I've made it, but I've never made kimchi. But I know it has a longer fermenting time, so I thought that might have something to do with it too. I don't know. But I had suggested that to her in my small arsenal of knowledge. So thank you so much, both of you.
Yeah. Good job, Natalie. That's a tough case study for you to have coming out of the gate.
So, it's been great.
Yeah. And please,
I'll type in more often too.
Yeah. Check in more with her often, and also with us too. We want to see her totally thriving. And so that's what we're here for, right? Is to be all supportive right. And yeah. So
sounds good. All right. Awesome. Thank you both so much.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. I see Stephanie wants to come on, so I'm going to accept Stephanie. Patricia is confused about week 10 supplements protocol, the HCL challenge. Nicole clarified they're not supposed to be taking their supplements at this time, and the handout says to finish the step 3 supplements. Yeah. So ideally, I mean, I have to look at where that is. I'm going to take a picture of that before we refresh the handouts. You know, they're going to finish step 3 before they begin step 4, before they begin the HCL challenge. So if you did a longer step 3, which is perfectly normal, that's totally fine, then you would start step 4 after that. Okay. Jack, have you been chatting with Kate since before I got on? Well, Stephanie's joining the room, so we're going to come back to Kate's question is where we'll pick it up.
Kate gave a thanks, Jack, on an answer to, was it blood sugar or something? But I bet she's got another question because there's 2 or 3 in there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll get back. Kate, it'd be great if you could come on next and we can talk through this. Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you. What's going on? Tell me what kind of practitioner you are. Just remind me.
FDN.
FDN. Awesome.
And I also went through IIN, so both.
Okay. Perfect. I love it. I just had a webinar with Reed at 11 o'clock.
I actually got the email about that. I was like,
Yeah, it was good to see him again. It had been a couple of years.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm on my phone, so I'm trying to hold it. And my baby ripped off my little thing that held it.
Your poppet. I know my son does that too. Okay. Yeah. Tell us, how can we help you?
So I had a couple of questions. The gal that I had presented the last time, she is on plan S, but she is, she has positive for H. pylori. So we had added in, do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had added in quite a few supplements. Had any thoughts about that, or if there were anything else that I should suggest? I had told her to try a mid-morning snack or maybe try some different food options in the morning to see if it helps and changes.
Okay, so just remind me. So she's doing the Plan S protocol, but she's also doing the PeptiGuard?
Yep.
Okay, and what else?
PeptiGuard, vitamin D, and she is supposed to add Nurisen Calm because she had a ton of constipation. And then the minerals, she's doing 28 drops.
Oh, that's right, of concentrated trace mineral drops.
And iron.
What do you think, Jack? This is a liver and maybe a detoxification pathway issue with the nausea?
Certainly. To get this right now, is this the person who sharing or doing PeptiGuard with her husband?
No, that's me.
Thanks.
Okay, you're on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a plan S who's also taking PeptiGuard.
Yes.
Okay, and then she was asking, is this nausea my H. pylori? And if it's just coming up and you said that she's doing so many supplements, you kind of want to look at the supplements and see if there's just not too much going down the hatch. Okay. Maybe redistribute the supplements, different combinations with food, make sure she gets enough food in first and see if there's some buffering that's needed on the supplements. You know, theoretically, it's possible that going after H. pylori could bring up nausea, but usually you look to see if it was pre-existing. So if she had nausea in her case before.
So she did. She said that she had nausea before, but it was once or twice a month. And she said now the nausea that's happening, she sometimes feels weak and shaky. And I can't remember the other word that she used in her message, but a couple of those other symptoms with it.
Okay. What step is she in right now? What is she taking?
On week 10, or she's going into week 10. So we're going to start the HCL challenge.
Okay. So she's not taking any more antipathogenics at all?
No.
Okay. That's good. I think she's going to feel a lot better when she does the HCL challenge, and just no heartburn or upper GI symptoms, GERD, anything like that.
Not right now. Had some pop up here and there throughout the program, but not at the moment.
Yeah. And then she had constipation?
Yes. She had crazy amounts of constipation. We were on 6 Trifala, Smooth Move tea. Right. We did the Smooth Move tea 3 days before she started started this reseeding. Mm-hmm. And she says she's going almost daily now.
Oh, okay. That's really good. So she's starting to build up her good flora. What supplements can you put on the shelf for her to help with the nausea? I mean, is she drinking the turmeric ginger lemonade? Because that's certainly going to help the whole process from step one. She can go back to that and just using foods. To open up the pathways. She can, at this point in the program, she can eat dried golden berries or fresh golden berries to support the kidneys. Okay. And then I would say, okay, let's take off a couple of supplements so that we can move her into the HCL challenge at the same time we're doing Calm and Neuricin.
Okay.
But like cut the other ones in half or bring them back after. Does she finish her probiotics from step 3?
Do the other one a little bit later. That's kind of what I would be helpful as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Is she on thyroid meds?
No. So that was the gal that they said had all normal ranges on her thyroids.
Oh, that's right. But all the thyroid symptoms. Yeah. But we might be able to help that. You know, but I just feel like there's something going on with the thyroid that's connected with the nausea as well. So I say just try that. It's like a mini simple thing, and then give it 3 to 4 days and then write in and let us know how it's going.
Okay.
And you can remind me, you know, in the email. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And my other question, you saw it, Jack, was with the PeptiGuard. I started it because I was on plan H. I didn't realize my husband was supposed to be on it with me. So he started a bit later. Is it okay for him to continue and me not be on it? Or should we stop him since he didn't have it by Lori to start with?
Sure. I think you don't have to necessarily be in tandem at this point. Just stay true to your program. and he'll finish up the little booster house clearing that he's doing.
Okay.
I'm more interested. I mean, H. pylori is adapted to the individual. So, you know, we want your susceptibility and your levels to correct. He's not having any trouble with it, but you can knock it down a little bit in case so it doesn't pass to you.
Okay.
But I don't see where you need to remain in tandem. Was he taking lower doses or you higher? Or?
Started later than I did on the.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with you picking up some of his and using it, you know, just for a little extra insurance. I think it's really just a judgment call.
Okay, that's kind of what I've been doing so far. And I was like, I'll check. Okay. I don't want to reinfect myself, if that's helpful.
No, well, not really.
Or he's going to be in and on your environment. So we're really looking at your system coming online and making good immune relationships with it. So,
right.
You know, as you go through the gut thrive, you're going to be strengthening your own ability to handle it, and you'll be in charge.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yay.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Good to see you again, Stephanie.
Likewise.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Miss Kate, you're on. I just accepted you. And you've been talking with Kate, Jack. She says, Jack, she's angry at the program. She feels she was misled and more symptoms have occurred that she never struggled with prior. She mistrusts the supplements. I have been able to get her to commit to seeing through the program. She stated she will not invest in anything further, so I have to work with what she has. I definitely need more background on this person. Sounds like they need emotional support and some internal stuff is presenting externally. Kate, okay, there you are again. I just accepted you again. Oh, there's Tracy posted a bunch of questions and had to go. Oh, she said her camera's not working. Gonna resend the questions. She's struggling in her healing journey and becoming quite angry and resentful of the program. I have worked with the team. They've been so helpful. She's refusing to buy more supplements. I am holding space for her and gently reminding her that healing takes time since she last felt well in high school and she's now 35. Any advice on how to help a client who's angry? Yeah, we had another one. I'm going to find this email. Okay. If you want to jump in, Jack, while I'm finding this.
These are always concerning because the anger is getting in the way of her healing journey. So, you know, this becomes a deeper issue. And, I can hear her saying, oh, I spent all this money and I'm not doing better. And the program said I would do better. But where someone else would be coming with saying, oh, well, help me out. What do I need to do? She's immediately kind of turned on the anger zone for you. So you've got to have a bit of finesse to see if you can, turn away the angry words and have confidence. And right now you're limited in the program. So let's make the program work. The program's capable. Kate, let's see what
I'm going to post something in the chat. This is private. So we had one and Mariana, if you're on here, we had a clinician who was doing so well. And then she had a similar situation with her case study that because right, healing's not a linear process. Sometimes it's one step forward, two steps back, three steps forward, one step back, especially if you haven't felt well since high school. And so she was kind of throwing the same thing, like shame and blame and all of this onto Mariana. And so it ended up where I got involved. And so I'm just gonna paste the last part of the email. Hold on. I think I may actually send it out because it's too much to paste into this chat here, actually. But I'm going to send it to you for your difficult clients, for your difficult case studies. And let me read this to you, because this is where we talked about the mental emotional aspect last time. And I gave her a plan. So this is one client case study in particular that was then starting to go to a chiropractor, and he's saying, well, you may have diverticulitis without even doing an x-ray. And then she went to a cranial sacral therapist that said, oh, your ileocecal valve was closed, but now this program opened it. This is the first time this has happened. So she's not even running labs. She's throwing all this blame out there, right? Which is not taking accountability. And she's spending money on other clinicians, and she's going down this wild goose chase because her nervous system isn't settled. And so I wrote to her, it was a very easy fix. And I gave her the three steps. So this is where, get us involved, Kate, with this client. I want to talk to her personally and send her an email with this case study. And so it was a very easy fix. And I said, you can take this easy fix, or you can go down this rabbit hole spending all this time and money and emotional energy that you don't have. And so that was the first part of my response. And then the second part of my response was, healing is not a linear process. Setbacks are normal. This is why we call it a practice. Every human body is its own universe, and we can observe its response to the work and rechart the course, but you need to be a responsive, accountable partner in that and continue to work with your practitioner whose heart and clinical acumen is in the right place. Blaming, shaming, and victimhood are toxic parts of our culture that come from a lack of self-love and a lack of self-acceptance. And the antidote is radical personal accountability and responsibility. They are coming up for you so they can come out. And that's what I'm talking about. These emotions will come up when you see in step three and step four. So I said, like every one of us, you have likely been programmed with these emotions as a means of control in your formative years. So when we flip the genetic code, starting in step three and building that in step four, these feelings will come up for release, right? If she's having anger, she's not releasing it. Don't go backwards by projecting these emotions. That makes a mess out of things and causes unnecessary negativity all around. Just as when we use high dose botanicals or antibiotics to kill the bug, we do damage to the good gut bacteria and create more metabolic waste than we need to. Your judgments will do more harm than good to your healing process. Both clinically and emotionally, I don't want you to take the long road and see you pay a string of practitioners to try to heal something. We are world-renowned experts in healing, and I won't allow that judgment to be projected onto me, my team, or your practitioner. That is the old paradigm that causes pain, and we represent the new paradigm as the crow flies. I invite you to trust us and let us guide you and help you on the home stretch. And you always end with compassion. I have compassion and understanding for your situation on all levels, and highly suggest the mental emotional handout, having your practitioner walk you through EFT, breathing, and meditation techniques, and continue cranial sacral therapy to support your nervous system to gracefully release the past physically, mentally, and emotionally. This is the whole journey. You are strong enough to get through this and create wholeness within yourself, to truly love yourself, right? You are teaching them how to fish, to accept yourself, and to teach that. This was how she had children, to your children, or you have not been attracted to join us as a case study. And that triggered her to start to do the work. So I'm going to send part of that email to you in the follow-up, because I just talked to a practitioner before this webinar that I was late for, and she was saying to me, I feel like there's a lot of unresolved emotional problems in my case study, but she's unwilling to go there. And so you have to bring that up, where you have some unresolved issues emotionally that are the elephant in the room. And if I'm going to be a true holistic practitioner, we're going to have to address those.
I think she's also looking for something proactive from Kate. And I think, Kate, you might consider implementing the program with the supplements at hand and cutting back on the doses and extending the time so it's gentle and allowing her time to work through things while not being, you know, pushy. You know, your first email or your first chat cited that new symptoms are coming up. Well, what a surprise, right? That now she's getting into the arena of remedial efforts and you know, so-called new things are coming up during the upheaval. So just, I would just say tone it tone it way down and give her, if it's in your heart, which I trust it is, give her the extra time. She's a squeaky wheel. She's begging for someone to care. Mm-hmm. And give her that time, and as your gift of service, and just moderate that program down so it runs gentle, and then work with her to see about alleviating anything that comes up as far as new symptoms. But hopefully the modified program will be more gentle and let her work more things out on her own. And you can emerge from this, you know, being the best of friends, and with her great gratitude for your kindness and patience. So I'm hoping you can step into that role. And I think you've got to work with what she has. She's not going to buy new stuff, or she's going to get mad. You can let her know that you'll bend over backwards a little bit, maybe an extra session of your time, just to make sure she's okay. Now she feels like she's getting more value for her money, but there's also your kindness that touches as well. And keeping it soft and gentle, and you may be able to work right on through and have these issues resolved.
Is this the same person who has the glucose monitor and the one who's a Bristol 4 on the stool chart, or are these different people? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, let's move on. So Kate says, thanks, Krista. I'll send you an email to give you the whole picture of this client. Feel their unresolved emotional issues. And okay, great. Okay. All right. So now you have like those two perspectives. It is the same client. So she's already getting the good results though, right? Cause she's 4 on the Bristol chart. She just needs to have patience. And now her stools are well formed, but really wet. But she says she's just starting step 3. Give it time and get to the end of step 3 as we're right of what's happening. But I think you've got to address this emotional stuff at the same time, because she's flipping the genetic code now. But I think the wiping and all of that in 2 weeks is going to be a much different experience for her. And as the bugs communicate to regulate glucose.
On the Bristol 4, you might want to check, is it really wet or is it more oily or greasy? And you may be getting the cleansing mucus, and it might be slick and difficult to get off. Or if there's just leakage, she may be leaking due to a poor sphincter tone. She may be leaking some water. But the idea of having to go back again and again, it's telling me that there's probably something to do with a slick mucus or something. And this will pass as she gets a little more of the cleansing underway.
Okay. So you have another client, Kate. I think it's a different case study. Plan S wants to continue doing castor oil packs while having regular BMs. She wants to do them daily. I'm curious as to why. Are they helping her sleep or helping her feel calm, which I know is too much? What's the thought around doing these once a week? I have no trouble or issue with them doing 1 to 3 a week, but that's just a general recommendation while understanding the level of toxicity or nervous system dysfunction this particular person has. So Nadia asks, when do you begin the neurological supplements? Now, they're optional, not mandatory, but Jack, when do you feel is the best time concurrently with step 3 is when we really tested them out?
Yeah, that's the time where the antipathogenic herbs can come in, and there's disruptive signals, gut brain. And so things can flare up, and that's a great time and a time to reestablish the brain-gut connection that we get the peristalsis going. But yeah, I do find that sometimes when people start to express that they're becoming emotional, earlier on. That's particularly the calm is a formula that can step right in and just help with the day-to-day changes that are occurring. So you'll know when to bring them in, but certainly in the step three is a great time. That's why, you know, Krista has it scheduled at that position, but they should be your tools. So if I start off with a person who says that she can't remember why she went into the room, or he has to word hunt, and you know, and you realize that there's immediate neurological issues going on, what a great way just to start and lend a hand. You could have an elderly person who is having some cognitive decline. And so you can bring those supplements in right at the get-go, or just wait until it's their time in the program. Just use them as your tools and your expertise.
Tracy, could you clarify step three, step four question further for Plan S? Do you do 2 weeks of lion's mane and Terra Flora and then stop all supplements while doing the HCL challenge for the 1 day up to 2 to 3 weeks? Then do you return to Terra Flora any remaining supplements after the HCL challenge? Excuse me. Is that considered terraform? We want to be sure I'm explaining this to my case studies. Okay, well, that's a great question. Now, I want you to finish step three before you move to step four. So with Plan S, do your lion's mane, do your Terra Flora until the Terra Flora is complete. So if this is a tenuous case, she may be on step three for a month before she starts to, he or she starts to build, do the HCL challenge. So finish it out. Then do the HCL challenge. I don't know that you will need to return to Terra Flora after that, because again, like the email I just read you, it's like what's happening in their body. We're responding in real time. That's what's so beautiful about the practitioner program and you working one-on-one. So report back to us, send us an email in clinical customer service and give us the details of what happened. And then we'll say, okay, she seems ready for the HCL challenge. Based on how he or she does with the HCL challenge, that'll say, should we do more Terra Flora as they're terraforming, or do they have it now, right? Can we start to do it mostly with food and the prebiotic fibers? Do we need MBC? We can help you with that as his or her body responds. Okay, Jack, how about Mohan here? She says, for someone who is low dosing on Terra Flora or MBC, they will still progress to step four. Okay. To do the HCL challenge after 2 weeks in step three, is that correct? So we just answered that question. It's a repeat question. We want to get the reseeding done before we optimize their hydrochloric acid to go as the crow flies. Still having severe detox symptoms and need to purge further. Okay, Jack, I'll let you take that one. Okay. So well, if they're still having severe detox symptoms just from a low dose Terra Flora and need to purge further estranged species.
Yeah. You want to continue that on a bit and let the bacteria have their day and get their work done. So, yeah, to me, I would extend the time and titrate the doses gently until there's no longer the severe detox.
Excellent. Thank you. Yvonne, twice in 1 day.
All right.
Yvonne was on the FDN webinar earlier. Great to see you. Let's hear what's going on. Yvonne's a registered nurse, everyone.
Okay. I have two different client questions for you guys. So I'm going to start with one. I have briefly touched on them in the past, so I'm just kind of reiterate. So one, they're both on Plan H, by the way. But one, I did send an email in and I got a response, but I just want to like really understand what's going on here. So Plan H, history of acid reflux, Barrett's esophagus, and that's really it as far as health issues. And he was having issues when he went from step two into step three, where right away he noticed the pain over the liver, and they had said it's probably, you know, he needs more detoxing support as far as, you know, it's like one of those, it's coming up, more is coming up and he needed more support. So the recommendation was that we started him on the Moors. Mm-hmm. And then as far as doing all the detoxing things, he is, you know, saunas and, you know, doing that stuff. He won't do the coffee enemas. Absolutely not. I tried, but it's not going to happen. So my question is, he started having heart palpitations. And I mean, I don't really understand the connection. I know it's a whole, you know, endocrine system, per se, I'm assuming. But that's a part where I was like, okay, heart palpitations.
Did they start before or after the Moors?
Before the Moors.
Before taking the Moors. Okay. Okay.
So my concern is, it kind of got to the point where he won't tell me if there's a problem, because I said, well, we're going to have to slow things down. And, you know, like, let's kind of, and he's like, no, 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 I don't want to slow things down. I just want to like trudge through this and just go through it. And I wasn't sure. I mean, is it okay for a person to do that? Meaning,
the fastest way to go is to go slow, is to let your body decide. Right? And that's going to take your health coaching background to come mm-hmm. in and talk to him, because it's like, he's probably used to just bulldozing through his work or whatever he does, but it's not actually the most effective path here. Right. Is he taking one Moors twice a day or two Moors twice a day?
Two Moors twice a day.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. So that's started.
Mm-hmm. That's good, and that will help. I mean, my sense is the entrenched species drove up more metabolic waste, which drove up cortisol, which drove up inflammation, which caused the heart palpitations. But I'm gonna defer to Jack to jump in on that.
Yeah, if you can explain the whole heart palpitation thing this way, I understand it. For the next time it comes around with somebody else, I'll get it.
Oh dear, you know, we're looking for a kind of the smoking gun or the cause, and I don't think we see it. You know, his system is reacting, mm-hmm. and you want to differentiate if it's an irregular heart issue, which might be centered with the heart, but it sounds like he's just kicking out some adrenaline, right, and going into a rapid pulse. Okay. And there's lots of things that can stimulate the rapid pulse, particularly when changes are brew, and these rapid pulses can come from the GI tract. So there's the basis, and usually these things are going to pass. In other words, he's not getting locked into heart palpitations. It's like this is a temporary sideshow of the work at hand. Now, when something goes that strong, my instinct is to cut back on the dosing and allow a week or so for the system to adjust. So, you know, just I think his system just got revved. Okay. And, you know, he lost some of the normal self-regulatory capacity. Some people would step in with the Neurosyn here and look for more of the brain connection to the heart. Okay. and regulating that way. But I think cutting back on the supplements and allowing the body a little time to adjust is going to iron out this kind of unexpected wrinkle.
Okay.
I also think you could bring in more food as medicine for the nervous system, you know, things that we would do and help people with POTS or things like that. So you could bring in, Gaia has an ashwagandha golden milk that he could drink at night before bed. Yeah. And then you can have him do that with almond milk, add a teaspoon of ghee. Teaspoon of honey and two, right? And so talk to him with the Get Slow handout and the lifestyle suggestion handout and some things that he would work. He's not going to do coffee enemas. Is he going to do the basic box breathing? You know, well, I mean, maybe EFT is out there, but breathing isn't, or basic meditation or something like that in combination with the clinical suggestions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mean, it's getting better. The other concern that he had is because he's going on vacation mm-hmm. and it's going to be right during the HCL challenge end of it. So is there, obviously when you go on a vacation, you can't have access to a lot of things that we're normally doing with us on this program. Mm-hmm. So is that a concern? Is there something I need to, like, you know, obviously he's going to take it with him, but doing the HCL challenge, is that something that's conducive on vacation? I mean, I know it's just taking the pills and increasing the dose.
I mean, he just can't cheat. If he can't have alcohol, gluten, dairy, or refined sugar on his vacation while doing the HCL challenge. And then he just has to do the best he can with eating out and with that. But there shouldn't be any major upheavals. Like if someone's going to have had an upheaval, most of the time, step three, the end of step three, we're out of the woods.
And then also with the HCL challenge, with him having the history of Barrett's esophagus, is that a concern?
Potentially. Did he go through an entire bottle of GI support and soothe already?
Yes. And I did advise him to order more as a support and especially to continue taking that. Because I think we talked about that the last time. I'd have to look at my notes as to why. But, you know, to help with his gut.
Is he having symptoms, GERD, reflux, anything like that?
He says occasionally, but he also has a hiatal hernia. So obviously this all led to that. But he's learned how to, you know, bring his stomach down. Mm-hmm. I did ask him about the chiropractor, and he does have a chiropractor that knows how to do that. So he's learning, and he's having that, like, push down. So he said that when he does feel it, nothing like before, nothing as far as how it used to be for him, but now, when he does have the symptoms and starts getting the GERD, he'll just push down and he says it relieves it. So it's obviously that valve is just open, and it's always during sleep. It's never just out of the blue during the day. It's always when he's laying down. So obviously that, that door is not closing.
What do you do for that, Jack? Like, would you ever suggest a 10 series for Rolfing?
Well, I'll give an old one. And we'll see if we dare to do it. But there used to be an old recipe for the hiatic hernia kicking on during sleep. And it was to take a small shot of Tabasco before going to bed. So you're going to have to find the person's threshold of hot peppers. It can be a shot can be just sprinkled into a little water. But the evidently raising the heat like that, first of all, capsicum is a beautiful healer, right? It heals stomach ulcers. It can go after even ear infections. So we're looking at a healing herb, not just a condiment. But I guess it's just such an insult to get that hot pepper there that valve just snaps closed and will stay shut. But it sounds like what's really going on is in the prone position, there's probably the weakness of the tear of the hiatic membrane. Mm-hmm. And that stomach is, there's a constriction, and that stomach is moving up, or just it's bending a little bit, and then that valve is open, some of the pepsin and HCL will slosh. Now, this isn't your Barrett's person, is it?
Yes.
It is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this has been going on for a long time.
Yes.
And there's been great insults to the esophagus.
Right.
So we're actually dealing with a tissue that's no longer an esophagus, right? It has a lot more traits now of adaption to becoming the small intestines. Mm. And so it's trying to get tougher regarding these acids that are kicking up. The real focus here is to get that hiatic hernia healed. So the more he can keep it in place and have it remain in place, the body has a chance to start the knitting process to tighten it back down, leaving the stomach on the downside of the hiatic membrane breaching and the esophagus on the upper side. Okay. And so, one technique might be to get, it's a really large ACE bandage for like when people break ribs.
Okay.
It wraps the whole body, and you could get a little cinching over the abdomen and try to hold things in place. Otherwise, he's just got to keep hitting that trigger point and hoping that the repeated adjustment like the chiropractor is doing, that you can get it to stay. If you have other tools, you're looking at the allantoin in things like aloe vera that can accelerate the healing. If you're into the homeopathy, Nux Vomica is the leading remedy for the hiatic hernia. And if he has any type of type A personality, competitiveness, irritability, big focus on business, then that remedy should have a resonance. You can use a fairly low potency, like a 30C, but if he were taking over, let's say, 6 or 8 weeks, keeping the membrane in place and the stomach in place, it's really the pooching up of that cardiac valve, which may well account for heart issues, by the way. It's why they call it the cardiac valve, but it's the lower esophageal sphincter. And if they can keep that from getting smushed or pooched or spasm, allowing the burning, let that quench out the acids. And a lot of people will make it through the night. And now we're not getting any more burning into the Barrett's and accelerating that process. So it's just a matter of finding the tools that work, apply 2 or 3 if they all are working. Let's keep that stomach pulled down where we're not getting the spilling upwards, which happens when laying down. Finally, I'll say some people will stop the spillage up the pipe by elevating the head of the bed. And usually a brick at 2.5 to 4 inches can get enough of gravity. So if the stomach generates some acid during sleep, but mostly it's not eating the 5 hours and just letting the digestive system shut off, hit it with some baking soda. So there's a number of tools to play this out over time. It's particularly rewarding because now you have a person who needs to be working with you for 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. But as they get better and then they break free from this, that life is different.
Right.
So those are just a few tools to help, but it's going to take a little bit. So the idea, if he says, well, I'm in the latter weeks and I expect results, he needs a little more patience with this process, because every time it pooches out, there can be reinforcing of the tearing and even some scarring building up that slows the process down. And every time, the more he can keep it in place, then there's that time, and then the remedy like Nux Vomica can step in and affect the re-knitting. So you've got some tools.
Right.
And now just cross your fingers and play them and see if you can't solve a case of hiatic hernia leading to Barrett's. I mean, that's just huge.
The Nux Vomica, you said? I'm not familiar with that. Where do I
go? It's Nux-Vomica. It's a standard homeopathic remedy. It should be at the health food store in a 30C for about $9.
30C?
Yeah, that'll be the potency.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good ally, and it sounds like it may fit his case.
Yeah.
So he can just pick it up at the health food store, Nux Vomica 30C. Have him take 3 pellets before he goes to bed each night.
And what specifically does that do? Like, is it?
It stimulates his body to be focused to self-heal the hiatic hernia.
Hmm. Okay.
In higher potencies, it deals with mental and emotional states. It's one of the top, in the top 20 of digestive support remedies, but it's leading for the hiatic hernia.
Wow. Okay. That's good.
So all it's going to do is provide a, hey, body, let's get focused and see about healing this thing.
Right. Okay.
It's just a subtle message to his system to heal.
Okay. All right. I'll definitely let him know about that. Okay.
Gosh, I can't wait to hear back someday that you have some good success here.
Right. I'm looking forward to that on him.
stay in touch with us on this case, please, on how it goes. I mean, I feel this is theoretically was our last webinar, but I really feel like we need one more. So many of these people are in process. So, and we haven't really dove deeper into step five. So I'm going to talk with Bridget about hosting another webinar to pick up on all of this in 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right. Cause you're all taking people through intense processes. Jack, if you're available to be on a final one, we'd be super grateful. So let's have you, everyone, everything we've talked about, this is really big stuff happening. It is not end of the road. So let's talk about step five in the next webinar. Okay. And then Mohan, I see your case study, and Tracy, and I have copied that, and I will respond to the rest of the questions that we did not answer. There's just two more in the follow-up email. That way everybody can have all of the answers to those typed out.
Do you want me to send an email with regards to the next client, or do you want me to, is it too late to talk about that?
You have one more?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it while we're here. Let's finish up on the what next client.
So the next client, she's also Plan H, and she's the one that we talked about that was on the PPIs for 20 years.
Oh, right.
Off. Okay.
So, same stomach cancer.
Right. And the recommendation, and she's also the same one that was told to take the
14. And I said, I probably misspoke, but I bet I didn't.
No, you did not.
You're welcome to speak it. All you like to speak here, Jack. We love it. We love everything that comes out of your mouth.
And she's also the same one that was having issues with constipation, and we were throwing everything at her and it wasn't resolving, but it has been resolving itself. And one of the recommendations was that she start the Neurostin now versus later, because there obviously was a brain gut connection. Now there's two questions I have for her, because two different things happened on top of this later on. But she was, when she started the reseeding phase, she noticed right away that she started having squeezing of, in her description, squeezing of the esophagus in the chest. And she did say that this happened to her before. In the past, she actually went to the hospital because she thought she was having a heart attack, blah, 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 blah. Well, this is happening again right now. And she also mentioned that that she did get bloated by starting the receding. So I told her to back off, and just trying to determine, like, is she okay? Should I slow her down a little bit? She seems to be better now, but she was like very stressed over the last few days. And I told her, just be patient. Let's just slow it down a little bit.
Good.
Because she was worried that, oh, things are getting worse. I'm having acid reflux again. I haven't had it, and it seems to be getting worse with the program. So I just didn't know if it was, and also keep in mind that, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink real quick. Mm-hmm. Also, with her taking the antibiotics, we also recommended that she take the MBC during that time. So when she started the receding phase, she was continuing with the MBC, but she was starting the ABC also. So I don't know if that might have played into it.
I think it could have played into it. We could add MBC in a little bit down the road. She's not still taking the MBC, just the ABC now, right?
No, she's taking the on Plan H, it's two MBCs in the morning. And then the ABC is twice, once in the late morning and then once in the evening.
But she's bloating on the MBC?
Yes. But no. Because when she was taking it during her antibiotic use, she wasn't bloating. But when she started the ABC, that's when she noticed the bloating happening.
Okay. I'm going to toss it to you, Jack. And Nadia wants to know the difference, too, between ABC and MBC.
So the MBC is enterically coded. So maybe with her transit time of her GI tract, she's getting the MBC down into the colon. It breaks open. Everybody's happy. The ileocecal's closed. The ABC is non-enterically coated.
Okay.
And so part of the idea is we're getting some interaction of those species with the esophagus, with the stomach. A lot of them are going to die in the stomach acid. But the idea is that before they do, they can be resetting and contributing, let's say, to the removal of H. pylori and helping the immune system reestablish immunological relationships with the bacteria that do hang around the stomach and the duodenal area. And so those are the theories regarding the two supplements.
Okay.
And so, but if one of them is, if ABC is causing the bloating, I would just back off from it and stay with the MBC, go the path of least resistance here.
Okay.
And, you know, let's not aggravate. Now, this person experienced wheezing,
Ashley?
Right?
No.
That was the word you said. What was the word you said about the wheezing. Chest?
She said she felt like her esophagus was being squeezed.
Oh, squeezing. Okay.
She was calling it.
Okay, so there's a reaction going on, and this is on the ABC?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it just seems like those species are, they're interfacing with the esophagus, and the esophagus is saying, yeah, I'm not so sure. Keep in mind that the esophagus has histamine producing capabilities.
Okay.
And so it sounds like that squeezing or a contraction. I was saying wheezing, like asthmatic, but it can be a similar muscle situation. It's a constriction and a tightening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking the ABC has triggered a little bit of a histamine response there in the esophagus. And, you know, maybe we don't depend on those lactobacillus and bifida, or this can happen even with sauerkraut or things that someone will get a constrictive reaction. And it's just the species of bacteria, the body, a lot of times when these first arrive, the body goes, whoa, what's this? I haven't seen this in 20 years, you know, and the body has a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And again, our two techniques, one is to soften it down and gently work it through, trusting in the beneficial aspects, or just back off. But I think this is a knee-jerk body reaction, and MBC is not a real strong count. Yeah. But if she's having reactions, I just kind of let it go and take the smooth run, and things work. They'll work out.
Okay.
Without putting, like, you're putting the ABC in the water and that technique. It's, I just look at it like, well, it's like somebody reacting or tightening up because they ate a blue cheese or, you know, which had the penicillins in it or something. That's what I think's going on.
She definitely said that it did slow itself down and she wasn't having that effect. But like she had told me that this has happened to her in the past, like a year ago. So this isn't something new. So it sounds like more of a reaction than anything. And she was willing. Now, the other question that we have, because she's going to be starting up the Neurosin and the Calm, and she's taken two doses of the Neurosin so far. But she just brought to my attention today that she is taking Topamax for migraines, and she has been on it for almost at least 6 months, if not longer. But I didn't know if that would be a contraindication, being that it's a neurological, you know, type medication versus taking the Neurosin and the Calm, because I'm not familiar with the Neurosin or the Calm.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it, but generally Neurosin is not contraindicated with that type of migraine. You might just, you know, I think it's always wise, and people are so reactive. They're more reactive today than they were 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Lower the dose.
Okay.
And make sure you've got a toe in the water.
Okay.
And then she can run with it. You know, it might be 1-3 times a day instead of 2 twice a day or something, and just let it have its own little opportunity to help. But Neurosin will just be like, think of it as just food for the brain, and the migraine medication is directly trying to intervene in the process that causes that swelling and constriction.
Right. Okay. All right. I will let her know. And I think that was it. She also is perimenopausal, so I know that has a lot to do with a lot of the stuff that's going on, mm-hmm. which I am learning. Okay. Thank you.
Monitor her carbs. She might need a bit more.
Right. I did tell her to increase her carbs. And mm-hmm. that was the other thing. She's also diabetic. So she was kind of standoffish with regards to introducing the carbs.
Well, we're talking like 1 to 2 extra tablespoons per meal.
Oh,
so that will affect her. And then she can, and then like, if she does well on that, if she's getting energy and she's feeling calmer, she could do like the following week, an extra 2 tablespoons. So
I'll let her
just to, yeah.
Okay.
Good. Jack, thank you. Thank you so much. Yvonne, it's good to see you twice in one day. Take care. Okay, Jack, thank you so much for being here for an hour and 43 minutes. You're fantastic, and you always show up with heart to get the job done. So thanks for helping the practitioners and our
My pleasure. We've got a great group of people, and they're encountering important stuff. You know, they're getting to where they can really manage all these hard ones, and the easy ones will just be sheer delight.
They will be sheer delight, you guys. You get some challenges. Better to go through the challenges, yes, now with us. And please lean on us so we can help you help them. So this is not goodbye, okay? I'm going to reach out. You're probably going to meet with Bridget and Jack in a couple of weeks. You're going to go over step 5, pick up on where your case studies are. I've captured the screen here and the chat for the follow-up. And I'll send out all of the links tomorrow. Okay. All right. We so appreciate